Hello and welcome to the Nursing Standard Podcast. I'm Serafina Basciano and I work in RCNI's editorial department running our social media accounts. In this episode of the podcast, we will be discussing how to switch off at the end of your shift. Many nurses may find it difficult to leave worries about the day behind, constantly going over what happened or wondering how a patient is faring. Joining me today to provide you with tips and tricks is RCN Nurse of the Year, Anna Waddington. So before we begin, I'll let her introduce herself.
Hi, Serafina. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. So as you said, I'm Anna Waddington and I currently work as a critical care outreach nurse in the paediatric hospital at a major trauma centre. But I've got previous experience of working in the emergency department, part of the trauma team and also in pre-hospital environments. So I've really had to adapt different techniques to be able to support my emotional and well-being needs. So thank you for having me.
Perfect. Thanks so much for joining us today. So let's get into it. To start, can you tell us what your end of shift routine is?
Oh, it just really varies. And I think this is obviously hopefully applicable to most people, but I work 12-hour shifts and they can be intense, they can be exhausting. And something that I always do to protect myself is I make sure that I have a moment to unwind. So as I'm leaving the hospital, I try and think of three good things that have happened that day. And sometimes I find it really hard to think of anything. So sometimes it's really basic stuff like, oh, actually, I drank a lot of water today, so I feel quite good about that. Or, you know, I was able to make a parent smile. Or, you know, today I actually had some time to focus on doing something compassionate, and that really empowers me as an individual. So three things that I always try and think about that are positive. And then I have a 45-minute cycle home where I find that allows me to bring down the heightened state. So by the time that I get home, I have a little bit of decompress that heightened state, because we're coming out, we're all adrenalized. Even if you don't work in the emergency department, even if your role isn't super, super fast paced, you are going to be in a heightened state because we're having to think quickly on our feet. We're having to be, you know, at a high level of ourselves at all times. So just try and book at least 45 minutes after your shift where you can unwind, whether that's listening to a podcast, whether that's, you know, making sure that you're listening to some music on the way home or doing some exercise like I do, walking or cycling home. So that's my first tip.
So how do you ensure that you leave your worries about the day behind? You know, what goes through your head, and how do you tell yourself, okay, what's happened today has happened?
Well, that's really tough. I think we can't punish ourselves if we don't get it right. So I suppose kind of flipping it on its head from your question is, First off, I think be a little bit compassionate to yourself. Try and offer the compassion that you offer your patients, but to yourself. So if you don't get it right the first time, it's okay. And if you don't get it right the next time, it's okay. So just, that's the first thing I want to say. I'm going to say something, but if you don't get it right, don't worry. I suppose focusing on the three positive things is maybe thinking of one thing that you wish could have gone better, as opposed to one thing you've done wrong. You know, try and flip that terminology so that you're a little bit kinder to yourself, and give yourself maybe an allocated time where you're allowed to process that information. You know, beat yourself up or whatever that you do, that you know that you do, just give yourself a really focused amount of time, and then you're not allowed to do it anymore. That's something that I do for myself. So, you know, I say, okay, it's 7:45. I'm allowed to think about that one event for 5 minutes and be mean, and then that's it. The rest has got to be positive reinforcement, because we're all doing the best that we can given the circumstances that we're working in. And if you're finding that there is an event that is constantly running through your mind, it sounds like you need to talk about it a little bit more, and getting feedback from colleagues is really helpful, you know, going through the event with a colleague. But again, a limited amount of time. You don't want to go over events over and over again, because all that does is your mind's trying to focus on the thing that you did wrong, but actually try and focus on the positives. So that's what I'd recommend.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. You know, give yourself time to process that, but don't keep going over it, because you're doing the best that you can. It's not your fault. Everyone's doing their best. So I think I really like that piece of advice. So are there any activities that you do to help you switch off at the end of your shift?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a massive self-care pouch that I've had to develop. And I think I spoke about it on a tweet once, and I also wrote about it with the Nursing Standard. But in my self-care pouch, I have various things that I practice. And if one of them is not working, then I use something else in the pouch. And this is my pouch. Doesn't mean that it has to be the same things in your pouch. But I know that cycling home is a way, it's a type of mindfulness. And actually, for those of you who don't know, but EMDR, which is a way to a type of therapy that helps you process it, they actually say like walking and thinking something through whilst you're walking is like a form of simple EMDR. So it's actually a safe way for your brain to process it with that repetitive movement. So do some form of exercise, whether it's, you know, a 10-minute walk to your house where you do it just a little bit quicker, or, you know, going cycling, or if you go to the gym afterwards. I mean, that's amazing, but I don't want you guys to exhaust yourself. So I always do some form of exercise. I always do some mindfulness. So if I haven't been able to do exercise, I've got the really great Headspace app. I don't know if other people have it, but it's for free for NHS.net emails. So download it and get it onto your NHS.net email. And they've got, you know, miniature versions, they've got long versions, and it's just to try and bring down that heightened sense. Because what happens when we're in a heightened sense, again, I'm not an expert in mental health, but my understanding is that when you're in a heightened sense, your ability to comprehend gets detached from your emotional side, and you're focused on the emotional side, but you can't rationalize. So you basically want to reduce that distance between the two parts of your brain so that they can communicate better. You know, you can be a bit more rational rather than, oh my God, I did everything badly, everything's so bad. Try and bring that emotional sense down by doing things like mindfulness, a form of exercise. Some people watch a show. Try not to watch anything that's too heightened. I made the error of getting really into this horror show, and for some reason I didn't understand why I was having all these nightmares. And I'll be honest here, I see a therapist, and she said, well, maybe let's think about not watching that show. So now I watch Stacey Solomon's Sort Your Life Out. It doesn't make me think. I can just watch it, and it just brings my heightened state down. Or do some sort of form of activity. So I don't know what it's called. I think it's called what's it called when you sew? I can't think of it.
Knitting? Or
something repetitive, which doesn't need you to think too much, where you're using your hands and your bringing down that heightened sense. I have a friend who says that for her, cooking is a thing that she gets out of her self-care pouch. Doesn't matter how long her shift has been, she really loves cooking, and it really brings her down. She can put something on the TV and she's just cooking. So just have a think about what you'd want to put in your self-care pouch, and depending on how you feel that day, how the shift has gone, you know what you need to do. You know, a long bath, read a book, listen to a podcast, do a long walk, cook, a hug.
Yeah, that's a good one, a hug. No, perfect. That's really good tips there. And I think a lot of our listeners will be delighted to know about the Headspace app, and that's free for NHS staff. So that's a great tip. So what other tips do you have on how to switch off after your shift?
So I've done a lot of work recently on trying to improve my self-care, because I realized that I wasn't very good at it. And I'm someone who, when I'm stressed, I just work harder, because I'm not very kind to myself. So I see it as, well, you're stressed, it's because you're not doing good enough, so you've got to work harder. So I'll pick up more shifts, I will, you know, try and do more meetings, I'll join more groups. And that's just how I go on to overdrive, and then I just collapse. And that's essentially what happened to me a year ago now. And what I realized is that, yeah, it's great to have your self-care pouch. It's great to know that self-care is important. Your days off are gold dust, and you should respect them like you respect time with your friends. Mm-hmm. You should respect time off. And that includes, you know, not looking at your emails, quieting down that voice that tells you that, you know, you're not doing enough to help. You are doing enough. You're a nurse and you're amazing. But also just realizing that sometimes we need a little bit more help than our own self-care. And that's what I noticed, is that I had a quite a traumatic incident happen at work. And I realized that actually I needed a little bit more support than just my own support and just my family support. And it took a lot of confidence to actually admit that. You know, I felt immense amount of shame that I had fallen apart. Yeah, it was upsetting, and it's still upsetting today, and I work every single day to fight that shame. But I think it's also important to realize that when you need some support, it's okay. And there's so many things that you can access now that can help you through it. I mean, yeah, you've got the NHS, you can speak to your GP, but a lot of trusts now have their own embedded psychological service that you could go and chat to. There's a great service called Practitioner Health, which is free that you can access, and it's an app, and they allocate you a navigator who have all clinical experiences. Mine's a GP, and it's quite good because she's really experienced with burnout. And there's loads of other things that you can access, you know, online services. I'm happy for people to reach out to me, to talk to me. And I guess just to talk a little bit about the incident so that people feel maybe it might resonate with them.
Speaking about traumatic experiences, you know, there are days where something will happen at work that will be heavier than a normal day. So I want to ask, have you experienced something traumatic that has really stuck with you?
Yeah, I think just to start off, I think that there needs to be a real recognition that we've all been through a pandemic. And depending on where you work, depending on what you had to do, we've all experienced quite significant trauma. And, you know, it was something that my therapist actually said to me last week, was the majority of people who've been to war will be coming out of that war and able to decompress, able to debrief what we've been through and stop. But we haven't stopped. Mm-hmm. We've kept on and we've kept going. And, you know, it wasn't just, you might not have been on ITU. You might have been the staff that kept the system running when the rest of your team was redeployed. You might have been off on maternity leave, witnessing your team like completely breaking down as a result of what was happening to you. But also you might have had loved ones who died or known of loved ones who died. The whole world was overwhelmed. And when we talk about that heightened state, we were in it for so long, right? And so I think that's, before I talk about what happened to me, I think it's really important to recognize that, because when she said that to me, I was like, oh yeah, that's so true. Like, we haven't stopped. And so it helps me forgive myself a little bit, because I feel complete shame that I've developed post-traumatic stress disorder from an incident that happened at work, which is an incident that I've witnessed many times in my career. But it just happened to be that one incident that broke the camel's back. That broke the straw on the camel's back. Is that expression? English
no,
isn't the first language.
No, that's the right expression.
You know, and I felt such shame. I was like, I don't get it. You know, I've held people's hands when they were dying during the pandemic, and all these horrible things happened, and yet this one incident just, that was it for me. My brain just went in complete freeze in the fight or flight, and I couldn't take any emotions. I couldn't be compassionate. I was crying at nighttime. I couldn't even take a walk without seeing blood on the floor. I thought my brain was just completely, you know, gone to another level. I don't want to use the word mad because I hate that word, but it felt like I was out of control. And the incident was on a night shift. I was new in my role, and there was a young person who was very, very distressed on a mental health crisis on a pediatric ward. and they, you know, I'm the most senior nurse on shift, so my role is to go to all security alerts on top of stabilizing the really sickest patients. So I have two roles at nighttime. And, you know, I got called to this ward. The young person had absconded, and I didn't really know anything about them. But unfortunately, they were, you know, they weren't allowed to abscond, but they quickly came back and they were all laughing and joking, and they'd just gone to have a cigarette. So, but that was my first kind of alarm bell going, wait, hang on a minute, something's not right. This young person's high risk, and they probably shouldn't be walking off the ward. Yeah. And then the second security alert came out, and the young person had locked themselves in the bathroom, but I managed to get them out. And then unfortunately, the third time the security alert went out, they managed to do it again, had escaped the nurses and had significantly self-harmed. And I had to break the door down and I got them out and they were blue in the face and I had to resuscitate them. Mm-hmm. And they're fine. They're alive. They're doing well. But for some reason, that event just did it for me. I felt like I should have been better. I should have recognized the risks. I should have stopped them from hurting themselves to that extent. You know, they shouldn't have been able to do that under my watch. And it was all like me, I'm the bad person. And I just saw his blue face. That's all I saw all the time, every single day. And I'm really sorry if that's distressing for anyone, but I think it's the reason why I can talk about it now, because I've had EMDR, which is amazing. And it's, you know, nice guidelines for trauma. And it's helped me process the event, you know, in a systematic, safe way where now I can talk about it and I don't have any emotions and it's amazing. But the point is that I think we're all facing these sort of events and perhaps we don't recognize some of the symptoms of PTSD and, you know, feeling a sense of heightened state all the time. Like my hearing is so sensitive. Like I couldn't even ride a bike without crying because all the noises were just so overwhelming and I didn't know what was going on with me. I thought I was breaking down essentially. You know, and thinking bad things are going to happen all the time, really, really worried that I'm going to cause harm. So I'm not like that anymore, but I really needed someone to recognize that I was having those symptoms. And so I realize now that the event itself is not my fault. You know, unfortunately this happened. There's a highly vulnerable young person and there's all these things that we could have done as a team. But really at the end of the day, that young person had a plan and they were going to try all they could to do that. And unless we were essentially holding them the whole 12 hours, then, you know, there was limited amount of what we could do because they really, really were not happy. But essentially what I want to say is that although I'm here to talk to you about tips and how to decompress, I also think it's important to recognize when you're really struggling and that it's okay. And that I really hope that people don't feel shame in it because it's that hidden, you know, illness that doesn't necessarily come out in like a broken arm way, but that I think a lot of people might be suffering with in silence. And the way that it came out with me was, I was talking to a psychologist, one of the psychology team at the hospital, and she just said, so just talk to me a little bit about what happens when you cycle, or which I was just saying, you know, I just don't understand. Like, I don't get it. You know, I just cry all the time, or, you know, it's really weird, but I'm seeing like blood on the floor and it's just really frustrating. And she was, you know, I was just dumbing it down because I thought I'm the one that's problematic. She said, no, let's sit down and let's talk about what's happened. That sounds like a really traumatic event. I think you need to process it properly. And she was my advocate and she's the reason why I went and got help because she allowed me to forgive myself, yeah, to not be okay.
Thanks for sharing all of that. It's great to hear how you moved on from that experience. So for our listeners, if they have gone through a traumatic experience, they're finding it hard to move on from or finding it hard to deal with, what are the steps they should be taking?
I think it's important to facilitate a form of debrief. I know that everyone's really, really busy, but I think that everyone should have, even if it's like a 10-minute debrief after an event, and it doesn't have to be a bad event. Like sometimes good events are important, but someone in the room has felt like it's a bad event. I think just like a quick debrief with whoever's been in the incident with you, you know, like go a step back, have a chat, what went wrong, what went right, how could we have done it better, you know, what things are we worried about, you know, that taking away, what are we worried about? That's important. And if you find that the event is still playing through your mind, you can speak to your manager if you feel safe to speak to them, or speak to a loved one and get just some feedback about it. Sometimes running through the event, you realize that actually the way that you've been thinking about it isn't what's really happened. And then the other thing is just try and, like I said, do all the other stuff around self-care, make sure that you're looking after yourself. A lot of the times we can process memories or process events in the wrong way, because it's the way our mind doesn't feel like it's ready to process it, it goes into that freeze moment. It's like, cool, not time to process, let's put it aside. But then when you're like relaxed, it sort of creeps back in because your mind's thinking, now's time to process, you seem very relaxed, let's do it right now. So just notice when this is happening, and if you feel that you're not able to really think it through, you're too worried about it, you're too scared about it, really reach out. I do recommend it. GPs are amazing. They're so happy to talk about it. And there's loads of services out there that would be keen to chat to healthcare professionals about an event. And, you know, reach out to senior nurses because they might be aware of it and they might want to talk about it too.
So Anna, what other tips do you have for our listeners on how to process a difficult day at work?
So obviously I've listed a number of things that I probably would recommend, and I appreciate that nurses have a variety of home circumstances. You might have multiple dependencies, you might, you know, be caring for someone when you go home, but I do think scheduling in self-care almost like it's a rule is super important. And even after you've processed an event, it's like the thing that you have to work on every single day. It's something that I have to remind myself every single day. You know, like I'll notice the physical symptoms. So my physical symptoms are I get really, really bad jaw pain, I get chest pain, and I get really bad headaches. Like that, those are the three things that happen. And I start to notice them when I'm like really stressed. I'm like, okay, cool. I haven't actually self-cared that well this week. What do I need to schedule in? And the gym is really important for me on my days off. I always go for a walk now with my dog, but I don't actually, I used to go for a walk and call someone. And I didn't find that those two really complemented each other, but actually if you find calling someone on your walk really helps you decompress, then do that. For me, it doesn't work. I actually listen to a comedy podcast and I laugh out loud and I let all of that energy out. That really helps me. And the other thing I'd say is, you know, do something that is soothing, you know, whether that is getting in a bath and listening to really nice music, or I got prescribed massage by the therapist, which was really weird for me because I hate touching. And if anyone knows me, it's like, she doesn't even like a hug, but she prescribed me 20-second hugs with my partner where I was like counting really slowly. And he's like, is this feels like longer than 20 seconds. 20-second hugs and massages. And I know they're expensive, but you can get loads of discounts for NHS. And it really did help because she just wanted me to bring down that heightened sense as much as possible. And seeing friends and families and people that you feel safe with, like, you know, schedule that in at least once a week, whether that's on the phone, but physical is even better, because people who love you will take you in any way and form that you are with no judgment. And that's what you need when you're feeling so vulnerable. So I guess just to summarize, make your self-care pouch, practice it every single week. If you find that you're really struggling, it's okay. There's no shame in that. We're all struggling. We're all in this together. But just reach out, get some help, you know, speak to your GP, access all the other services that your hospital does, speak to your manager if you feel safe with them, and then always schedule in some chats or catch-ups with people who you love and adore and feel really safe with. And then if you're up for it, figure out how to get your 20-second hug, whether it's from your dog, whether it's from your loved one, whether it's from your child. Just do the 20 seconds. It really, really does work.
Okay, amazing. I really like how you said it's also about physical touch. Like that makes such a difference as well. You know, I think we focus a lot on how do I, you know, relax mentally, but it's physical touch. It makes such a difference. So before we finish off, I want to leave our listeners with something inspirational. What advice would you give to newly qualified nurses or even nursing students who are just in the middle of their degrees?
Gosh, there's so much, because I can imagine it must be quite a scary time to come into nursing, because you're seeing all of the nurses being quite exhausted and, you know, lack of better word, being burnt out. Mm-hmm. I suppose similarly to those who are qualified, just remember that You can do the work that you do within the time that you're contracted to work, but at the outside time is your protected time, and don't feel ashamed to protect it. You know, look after yourself, try and have your days off, make sure that, you know, although you're working really, really hard, you do get your breaks. And I know that that's not something that is easy, especially in a busy environment, but find a way to have a break. It's so important, and take that on to when you get qualified. You know, I get made fun of at work because I carry a strap with a water bottle, but I work across the whole hospital, A&E, up on the children's ward, and I leave my water bottle everywhere. But to me, drinking water is one of my self-cares. I need to drink, because going to the toilet, I have like a five minute decompression that I do. So it's kind of like my cheat self-care, where, you know, I think of five things that I can see, four things that I can hear, three things that I can touch, two things that I can smell, and one thing that I can taste. And I do that every time I go to the toilet, and it just brings my heightened sense down. So find the thing that you do at work that looks after you. And whether that's taking a break and listening to your podcast, just make sure you prioritize that. And I suppose the other thing is, you will get there as a qualified nurse. It takes time. Don't rush into it. I know that everyone wants to be the best nurse that they can be, but actually everything takes time, and it's okay for it to be a little bit harder at the beginning, and it's okay if you don't know everything. So just be a bit kind to yourself.
Thank you for that. So thank you, Anna, for, you know, taking part in the podcast today. Now, I'm sure our listeners will find all of your tips and advice very helpful. And before we go, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
Yeah, so you can tweet at me at A.L. Waddington on Twitter. But I also run my own community interest company teaching young people bleed control. So if you tweet at the organization, which is yourstance_CIC, we'd love to hear from you, and come and help us teach some bleed control in London if you want to.
Perfect. Thanks very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you today.
Thank you so much.